Welcome back, everybody, to What Would Father Say here on the Armor of God Catholic Radio Network, starring the one and only Father John Gesualdo. Father, thanks for joining us again.
My pleasure, Tom. Thank you for having me. These are always fun.
Yeah. Always a great opportunity to pin down one of our priests and get his take on everything that's important to us individually and collectively. And if you've missed our last couple of episodes, we've been talking about the four last things, specifically death, initial judgment, heaven, and hell. We talked about the first of those four things the last 2 weeks. If you missed some or all of that, you can pick it up on our website at armorofgodradio.com. And we will jump in here on part three, if you will. We are talking this week about heaven.
Heaven.
And I think maybe a little bit of a definition is in order. I mean, I think we tend to use that word, and in our culture, the word is bandied about a lot. But I mean, in music and pop culture and whatnot. But how would we describe heaven?
So we have to kind of say what it is not. It is
Don't
not just
jump ahead
sitting
to
on,
next week, Father. But yeah,
just
go
not just
ahead.
saying we're on a cloud somewhere playing. And we can say some things about heaven. We can, but it says in the scriptures, eye has not seen and ear has not heard what God has, or even fathom what God has ready for those who love him. I mean, that throws it all into a whole other realm of, wow, we don't, it's beyond our comprehension, what God has ready for us. Let me turn this down just a little bit. Can you hear me okay?
Absolutely. Yeah.
My own thing's kind of loud. But
Okay.
we do get hints from the Old Testament, even before God, even before Jesus rose from the dead and opened the gates of hell. He tells a story about, Lazarus and the rich man, how there's a chasm between them, and now he's happy here. And for the Jewish people, it's called Abraham's bosom, that he's happy here and content. So there's that we no longer long for things and waiting for things. We're now enjoying God's company, comfort, in the bosom of Abraham. But then Jesus on the cross tells the good thief, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Well, that bumps it up just a little bit, don't it? And then what we call about paradise, it's almost like you can say a return to Eden, where in total fulfillment with each other and with God, and in a perfect relationship, naked and without shame. Maybe we don't have our bodies yet. But Jesus tells his disciples, "I am going to prepare a place for you. Do not be afraid." It's almost like a man telling his bride, "I am going to go and prepare a place where I will take you with me and you'll be with me forever." Wow. But for me, the image I like is the one that Jesus gave at the Mount Hermon or Mount Tabor on the of Transfiguration. He takes them up the mountain and they're like, "What are we doing?" And all of a sudden the three of them, Peter, James, and John, see Jesus as he actually is. They see Moses and Elijah. And then they hear the Father's voice and are surrounded by a cloud. They fall to their faces. It is like an experience of heaven, the inner life of the Trinity. They're actually experiencing all three persons of the Trinity, along with others who are also enjoying their pres his presence. To the point where they just want to stay. Let's build some tents here, why don't we? And why did God do that to them? Well, I think this is my own little Father John that
That's why this show exists.
say
Is
again?
to hear the I said that's why this show exists, is to hear the
That's what
Father John.
that's right. What would he say? What would I say? Because they wanted Jesus wanted them to see him at his best, because they were about to see him at his worst on that cross. That when all hope is gone, they'll have a memory of being total contentment within the inner life of the Trinity, wanting to stay there, in a place that not only they are looking at God in the beatific vision, but actually in the very relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the love between them. You know, we like to draw interlocking circles, and then there's a little part that's
Venn
the little part
diagram.
that all three of them come together. And I used to tell the kids, that's what we call heaven, that God the Son is giving himself to the Father. God the Father is pouring himself out to the Son, and the love between them is a person. But all three that come together, and we get to experience that. And it is a foretaste of what even those in heaven are looking forward to, is getting their bodies back at the resurrection and then experiencing that with our very bodies. The love that God not just has for us, but the inner love that God has, that he wants to share that with us for an eternity. So we're just in love with God, literally in the love of God, in God that is love, sometimes called paradise, but also beyond our wild imagination. They're wanting for nothing, and that the moment we get there, after a million years, it'll feel like we just got there.
In John's
So
gospel, he talks about, Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, but he prefaces that statement with, in my Father's house, this is from John 14:2, in my Father's house there are many
there are many.
rooms. So what does he mean by, or what do you think that the Lord is referring to by the many rooms?
Know, that's all conjecture. I think it just means we got plenty of room. We got plenty of room.
Plenty of space. The
And
way
that's
things are
from,
going, then.
and then when Jesus gets asked about heaven, I like it when he get asks about heaven from the Sadducees, who don't believe in the resurrection. You know, he says, when a man has gets married, his wife dies, and he marries and wife dies, who is he married to in heaven? He says, you don't understand. There are people who know that man is woman are neither married nor given in marriage. That in heaven we'll have that same nuptial relationship with God that a married couple has. For an eternity, be like angels. Only angels will never get their bodies back. But also in Revelation, we have an image of heaven that sometimes we don't share with our kids, even our little kids. And it's out of prudence because they might be find it boring. In Revelation 4 and 7, especially Revelation 19. Well, Revelation 4 and 7 is a heavenly liturgy. It looks like the Mass. God upon his throne. And what are we there? What are they doing? Praising God, lifting up prayers and incense. Can you imagine a second grader going, Mass is like, heaven is like Mass? Boring. Sitting in a pew with that boring old guy up there, because he doesn't have a full understanding of what goes on at the altar. And, second graders, fifth graders are not ex excited about when you say that heaven is like a marriage feast, the end of time, a wedding of the church and Jesus. They'll be like, a wedding? I don't like that. That's ooey. So, because they're not ready for that, but those of us who call ourselves mature Christians know that God wants to marry us. And that is an appropriate image of the wedding feast of the Lamb. But also, that when we know what's going on at the Mass, we know that heaven and earth kiss, and that the angels are joining us singing, "Holy, holy, holy Lord." And I always go back whenever we have these conferences, you know, if we take the kids to a Steubenville conference, and then they have, you know, that hour long of adoration. And they're singing at the top of their lungs. Their hearts are coming out of their chest. Or the one kid who's not even Catholic, I remember she came to Steubenville with us, to Steubenville Men of America, and we had an hour long adoration where they did a procession of the Eucharist, and we're singing in silence and singing in silence. And later on, she told me on the bus, she goes, "I just wanted adoration to go on and on and on. I didn't want it to end." And I said, "What you just had was an experience of a Mount Tabor taste of heaven to where you don't want to leave.
Yeah.
What, this is no other place in the world. Let's build some tents and just hang out here praising the Lord."
Amen.
Now, again, if you tell a third grader, "We're going to be praising God." What?
Yeah.
What? Well, they're not ready for that.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just a tragedy when someone says, you ever been to a funeral? Maybe someone's a golfer who dies.
Yes.
He's up at that big golf course in heaven.
Yes.
No, he's not. Or when you tell a married couple or an engaged couple, "Well, in heaven, you won't be married." What?
What? Yeah.
What? But then you tell a couple who's married 60 years that you won't be married in heaven. They're like, "Whoo! Thank God. Thank God that's over with." But you prepared each other.
That brings up, you know, an interesting question, and we kind of went through a little bit of a hubbub 10, 12 so years ago. You know, I think when Pope Francis made some offhanded comment on an airplane about our pets in heaven. Like a lot of things, unfortunately, I think that was taken a little bit out of context, but it does bring a question. I mean, what's our relationship going to be with, because you mentioned there's no marriage in heaven, what's our relationship going to be with our family and our friends? And
Well, that all that is a mystery.
Mm.
We are told in the wedding liturgy, I'm sorry, in the liturgy of a funeral mass that our loved ones come and meet us, but the angel and the saint come to meet us. And, you know, I'm willing even to concede a little bit on the whole animals thing, you know, because kids care about that. They love animals. That's their first experience, I think, with real love is with animals. And when an animal dies, that's sometimes their first experience of grief. But I always tell people, you know what the church teaches about whether animals go to heaven? She doesn't.
Yeah.
She leaves that up to. And there's James Aiken. Jimmy Aiken works for Catholic Answers. You know this. He says that there's some evidence that there may be some animals in heaven. Now, I would hate to think that there are mosquitoes in heaven. I don't want them there. Or fire ants, you know, or termites. Can you imagine that?
They might be pets to some people, though.
Oh, my God. Rats, you know. And I don't like possums. They look like big rats. But, you know, some animals, you know, have bigger brains than we do. Like an orca's brain is like the size of a beach ball. A shark's brain is the size of your thumb. Like a great white. His that's all he thinks about is swimming, eating, and having baby sharks. But there's some. You know, there's some. I'm willing to be open to that.
I think that's kind of sort of what Pope Francis was driving at, is that
yeah,
we really don't know, and to make a declarative statement one way or the other, you know, kind of puts limitations on God that are unnatural, that aren't.
Yeah, we're not. I mean, it doesn't help. And okay, so St. Thomas Aquinas, I think, said there's no animals in heaven, but. I mean, he's free to say that. Doesn't mean it's official church teaching. But our relationship with each other, I think, will be purified, will be more glorious. We'll go back to sort of that heavenly paradise where Adam and Eve looked at each other without shame, naked and without shame, and enjoyed each other's company. One of the mysteries is if we know someone's in hell, how can we be possibly happy? But I think there's a satisfaction in justice. I don't think anybody in heaven mourns the loss of someone in hell. That's my own opinion. I think those who are in hell would be miserable in heaven. That's something that Thomas does teach, that people go into, I can't remember who said it, but there's somebody that says, we'll talk about this next time. Maybe this is just a little that people
Teaser
go into
there.
hell giving God the finger. But people walk into heaven saying, I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve it. God's mercy outdoes his own justice. That when we at our judgment, when we stand before God, hopefully it'll be a glorious day. And then a day of anticipation. But what are we doing in heaven? And what are the saints doing in heaven?
That was my next
Praying.
question.
They're
Yeah,
still
that's my next
part
question.
of the body of Christ, praying for each other. Saint Therese of Lisieux said that I will do more work in heaven as she prays for us on earth. Again, that's an adult notion. It's a bit of a downer for a child praying. I don't want, can I ride my big wheel? I sometimes think it'd be more like a dance where we're
But you
not being
kind
led and lead others. And there's nothing more fun than when people are getting together and celebrating and praising God and dancing. But I don't think it's a big prom in heaven. It's what St. Paul said. It's beyond, or Jesus says, beyond we could possibly imagine. And then we'll get to this next time. So is hell. So we have much to look forward to. And if the beatific vision for those in heaven, to think about what it is like to be engulfed in the inner life of the Trinity with our bodies, these bodies that are breaking down. I hate to tell you this, Tom, but you and I bodies are breaking down. They're not what they used to be. I went to a funeral of an old friend, but I haven't been to my old church in, 7 years, 8 years. And everybody looks older, and so do I. And can we, but we are promised at the end of time a glorified body, that we will get our bodies back, that these are not just shells, that we love with them, that we love with them. We have to admit, though, that death is not something that God had, was not as, that's unnatural. Our bodies, our souls will be separate, which is not supposed to happen. And when souls and bodies are separated, that's when death happens. But we were promised that our souls will be with God as we await the resurrection together. We'll await the resurrection together. And
There's a
all, again, looking forward to more and greater things, infinite, infinite greater things. And all we have to do is pick up our cross and follow him. That we are judged, as we said last time, by our deeds. We're told that over and over again. How did we use our bodies? Did we use our bodies in sacrifice to love? Or did we? There's nothing worse. I don't know if I think I told you this story, visiting a man who had diabetes and so sad, living in regret. He was younger than me, but he had lived a hard life. He was Catholic, but he never came to Mass. I didn't know him. But he was 100 pounds overweight. They've been smoking and drinking his whole life, living, didn't have any, I don't really know how many girlfriends and ex-wives he had and children who weren't visiting him. You could tell he had lived a hard life, and he had diabetes, and slowly it was eating him alive. And now the doctor said, no, you're dying. That's it. Now get ready for eternity. You don't want to live like that. That we're judged by our deeds. And this is a Catholic and Protestant notion. They all know Matthew 25. When I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was in prison and sick, you visited me. And did you live your life for the Lord? Because he died for us. And so then we give our lives to him. And in doing so, we find ourselves. I think what people think, and I know I'm going off the record here, Tom,
That's all right.
that living a Christian life is somehow hell, and that we live miserable and then we'll get to heaven. That if we live it up now, sure, we'll go to hell, but we'll live it up now. No, it's the opposite. It's the opposite. To stay close to the Lord and the church brings meaning and happiness and fulfillment. I guess that hit me when I was doing my hospital ministry. And most people would think would be the most miserable place to be in. I remember thinking, this is the best place on the planet. So a man had died. Trying to get my facts straight here. A man had died, and they brought his wife in, and she like passed out and cracked her head, and
Oh my
she
gosh.
was in an emergency room too. And I remember telling her, "Your husband's passed away." And she said, "I'll never be happy again." And I said, "Yes, you will. It's gonna be hard." But sitting at her bedside in an emergency room in Waco, I remember feeling the most privileged person on the planet. That God was thick. I was consoling someone in the worst day of her life, the worst day of her life, and I got to be there. Well, the rest of the world thinks going out on Friday night, partying, cruising. Wow, that's misery. That's misery. People are always looking for the next party. They're the boring ones. One thing I tell people, Tom, is my life as a priest, I have experienced sometimes jealousy, sometimes anger right there, you know. But I'm not bored. I'm not bored. I'm not looking for the next high. And I'm, you know, and being lonely is not something I deal with either. I am surrounded by people. Let me say that again. Surrounded. And you know me, Tom knows me fairly well. I think it's safe to say that I am not an introvert, am I, Tom? No, I'm
No,
not
that
an
word will
introvert.
never be used to describe Father John Gisalfo, though.
Because introverts get exhausted by being around people and they have to recharge by being alone. Well, I get my energy from being with people, but even that has its limits. Sometimes I'll go bury myself in my room, and sometimes I'll even go sit in the closet and go, if I just stay here, no one will find me. Loneliness is not something just to recharge, because living a sacramental prayer Christian life is more fulfilling, and then knowing that we can bring heaven down, that the Mass is heaven. It is a privilege. We're not sitting around just white knuckling it. Because we want to go to heaven. No, we bring heaven down. We're anticipating it. You know, that's what celibacy was supposed to be. The theology of celibacy was that someone would be living in the resurrection now. That my celibacy will be what all of you live at the resurrection. You're not going to be married. Totally devoted to God. Well, that's an anticipation. Even when priests were married, the husband and wife, the priest and his wife, were supposed to live in pure continence because they were supposed to be walking around examples of the resurrection. No, we believe in God. We believe in the resurrection. We're going to start living it now. That's what Mary and Joseph did. They lived all, they brought heaven down in the way they lived their marriage. So it's not some, as the song says, some light years away, but here in this place, especially at the Mass. We need to do a better job of communicating that. Because, like I said, when you say heaven is be praising God at the altar, well, come on. Surely it's like a roller coaster or an amusement park. Because
I
if you
think
go to an amusement
everybody
park, I don't like amusement parks anymore. They give me a headache and I get tired. And I
I
said, why
think
did I do
the
this? Pay $50 to get into Fiesta, Texas? No way.
I think the secular world kind of has this idea that we're all just going to be able to sit around and drink Dr. Pepper and eat bonbons and never gain an ounce of weight and do whatever we want
It'll
if
be
that's
like
heaven.
we'll be sitting on a beach with 2% body fat speaking French. That's what
I don't want to speak French.
I saw that a commercial for it. They were all on a beach, with 2% body fat speaking French, just looking at each other. That's what commercials, if you watch a beer commercial, it's always good looking people sitting on a beach with perfect weather, beautiful people being slothful. That's what sells.
I think there's a great quote as we're coming up here at the end of this episode, but there's a great quote from a catechism that I found. It says, "Whoever sees God has obtained all the goods of which he can conceive." And that's Catechism 2548. And I think that that's a great sentence that kind of helps us set our minds that we have no idea what heaven is going to be like, and that we have an opportunity to, as you have said before, on this very show, Jesus died for us. Have we lived for him? And I think that that's how our focus on what our idea of heaven needs to be focused on.
Yeah, very well. So,
Kelvin,
yes.
we gotta run out of time here for this week's episode,
Okay.
and we'll pick up next week with the last piece of this, the
Yes.
scariest piece,
Hopefully,
and
it'll
that is
scare the
how.
hell out of people.
Yeah, exactly. Scare him into heaven.
There you are.
if you wouldn't, please, Father, give us with your blessing.
And may Almighty God bless all of you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. All right, folks, if you missed some part of today's episode, remember you can pick it up on Sunday afternoon at 12:30. We'll rebroadcast this episode. And later next week, or later that week after, we will put it up on our website where you can find all the episodes of all of our podcasts, of all of our shows. So right there at armorofgodradio.com. Thanks again, Father, and we will see you next week. And remember to put on the armor of God.
Amen.